Good morning. This is John Jenkins, senior editor of deallawyers.com, and I'd like to welcome you to the latest edition of our Deal Lawyers Download podcast. Joining me today is Mark Williams. Mark's the chief revenue officer for the Americas of DataCite, and he's agreed to talk with us today about DataCite's recent M&A Outlook survey. Mark, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for participating.
Thanks very much, John. Glad to be here.
Let's kick it off by just, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
So I have been with DataCite now for over 7 years. I am responsible for our sales activity in the Americas, so Canada, domestic US, Latin America. DataCite, we're the leading SaaS technology provider for M&A capital markets transactions across the entire life cycle. We deal with a range of deal makers, from investment bankers to corporate development professionals, private equity investors, and of course, legal professionals across globally over 13,000 deals. And last year in the Americas, we did over 7,500. So we got a pretty good view of the market from where we sit.
Great. Now, I blogged recently about your M&A Outlook survey, and I'm wondering if you could discuss with us the methodology and provide kind of an overview of the results of that survey.
I'd be happy to, John. So when we see themes or trends in the market, we quite often go out to our deal maker community to survey them and get some insight from them directly on what they're seeing. So we went out to just over 500 deal professionals globally. We wanted to get a pretty broad sense of the market. That was North America, UK, Australia, France, Germany. And we ran that with a series of questions to get a sense of how deal makers were seeing the outlook for the second half of this year, given some of the headwinds that we're seeing at a macroeconomic level, and then some of the political and geopolitical issues we're seeing, the war in Ukraine, et cetera.
And actually, it was nice to see really the few that we've seen recently that showed any hope, any spring of optimism from dealmakers. It was nice to see. So we hope you and they are right.
Yes, that was I would say that was on the upper end of, you know, anecdotally from the people that I speak to on a daily and a weekly basis, the 68% of deal makers that said they expect global deal volume to rise in the next 12 months, that was higher than I thought it would be, but it was good to see.
Absolutely. One of the interesting aspects of the survey was what respondents had to say, not only about their expectations for the overall climate, but about the types of deals that they expect buyers will be looking to engage in over the next 12 months. Can you elaborate on some of those responses?
I can, John. So I think whenever you have a market condition that people and the deal-making community and the corporates didn't anticipate, so certainly inflation and interest rates, I think, and the Fed's response here in the U.S. Didn't exactly line up with what people were planning at the beginning of the year, that creates opportunity. And I think that's one of the reasons why some of the deal-makers are bullish for the levels of M&A that will happen in the second half of the year. Interestingly, we saw TMT projects increase on our platform. They rose 18% globally, and in the Americas, 15%. I think you saw definitely an uptick in activity around cyber security. There were a couple of high profile take privates in the cybersecurity space, which we supported. And then if you look at, you know, kind of industrials, that was another sector where we saw pretty significant year-on-year increase.
Right. Now, you'd already mentioned, you know, inflation and the war in Ukraine. Also, there are fears of recession and there's lingering supply chain concerns. These are all kind of top of mind issues for many businesses. How did those issues factor into the responses to your survey?
I think they do, but there's also still a lot of private equity dry powder on the sidelines. There are a lot of the preeminent private equity firms, certainly here in the US, are still raising new funds and not struggling to raise new funds. I think as the overall market dynamics change in terms of, you know, there's been very few IPOs this year, and the SPAC and de-SPAC market have changed significantly from last year, that creates other opportunities in other areas. So companies that were planning to IPO this year are having to look at maybe going to the private markets for capital to continue to execute on their business plan.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you know, people talked about the impact on inflation. Not so much. It seems like it was impacting obviously valuation, consideration mix, but not so many people saw it as a showstopper for doing deals. And I think one of the things in the survey that pointed out, if there is one out there, it's the war that people are seem to be most concerned about as having the potential to derail transactions.
Yes, we certainly saw that in the survey results. That was obviously a concern. One of the other things that we saw on our platform, and you know, kind of marrying that with the survey data, was the level of diligence that companies were going to on assets that they were potentially looking to buy. Last year, you mentioned that, you know, valuations were high. That was certainly the case. We saw an increase in due diligence this year because as not only the private equity firms are looking to do deals, but if they're putting debt packages together for those deals, the debt providers are doing more diligence as well on the assets to make sure that the synergy case and the business case stand up.
And more diligence means more time to get your deal done.
It does, yes.
One of the topics that you addressed in the survey that I thought was really interesting was the impact of the Great Resignation on the M&A talent market. I thought some of the responses to that question were pretty interesting. Can you discuss those?
Yes. So obviously when you've got attrition in terms of human resource, when you've got deal volumes at levels last year, certainly, and this year, on our platform, we've seen a year-on-year increase in the number of projects. You've got to solve those problems with technology. You can't solve them with more people. And it's also one of the things that we've seen change, and the survey bore this out, was the type of work that people are prepared to do or that causes them to leave is mundane, you know, tasks that they know can be solved with technology. So with DataCite, we've obviously taken a kind of a leadership position in the market for innovation, for product functionality and capability. We've seen more of our advanced capabilities used. We've seen more of our clients come to us asking for training on the advanced capabilities. And those advanced capabilities not only save time and effort for the folks using those capabilities, but for example, when we're ingesting content onto the DataCite platform, we have a pretty robust document intake process that includes AI to actually recommend where some of those documents should go and what's in those documents. So we're helping people triage those documents faster, not doing it with technology rather than people. And that helps people bring their deals to market faster. So we're definitely seeing an increase in the use of technology to try and offset and improve the value of the tasks that humans actually do.
Well, speaking as someone who began his career by spending 2 days in a shellac plant in New Jersey in December reading through minute books, I can truly appreciate the technological advantages that a company like yours provides over how we did things in the olden days. But Mark, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and sharing information about the survey. Again, folks, I blogged about it. It's up on our site, and you can click through and see the survey. It makes very interesting reading. We've only kind of scratched the surface of it. So, Mark, thank you very much, and thanks to everybody for listening. That concludes today's podcast.
Thanks, John.